live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock and this is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach says the government really wants to get it right when it comes to reopening the country after lockdown. Meanwhile, the business minister says there's only a finite amount of resources when it comes to support packages for firms affected by COVID-19. 217,000 people across 193 countries now dead as a result of the pandemic. Over 3.1 million people affected. 16 pedestrians have been killed on Irish roads so far this year, double the amount that died on Irish roads during the same period last year. And Donegal, one of the worst affected counties by a shortage in child psychologists. A very good evening to you. The Taoiseach says the government really wants to get it right when it comes to reopening the country after lockdown. Leo Varadkar will announce details of a phased exit plan in the coming days, but he's warning figures show we are not yet ready for the easing of restrictions. It's believed that the over 70s could be allowed out to exercise in the early phases of reopening. Pubs will only open in the later stages. The Taoiseach says he knows people are getting more and more frustrated.
We really want to do this right. It's not a perfect science. There's no rule book or guidebook for all of this. But I'd rather be in a position where we make the decision to do the first phase of reopening at the right time and not end up having to reverse it. Because I think that would be really, whatever morale and frustration you see now, I think that would be 10 times greater if we had to go backwards again.
Meanwhile, the business minister says there's only a finite amount of resources when it comes to support packages for firms affected by the pandemic. There are reports that restaurants and cafes may be able to reopen over the course of the summer on a limited basis. The Restaurants Association says that can only happen if they get a bailout from government. Minister Heather Humphreys says they're trying to strike a balance when it comes to providing support.
It's about the right supports at the right time, and of course we want to see them back up and running as quickly as possible, and employing people and everybody getting out to work like they want to. We also have to be conscious too that resources are finite, they're not unlimited.
COVID-19 has now killed at least 217,000 patients across 193 countries and infected over 3.1 million people. In Spain, one of the countries worst affected by the deadly outbreak, a four-phase plan to lift lockdown has been announced. With more, here's Shane Beattie.
Worldwide, more than 3.1 million COVID-19 cases have been recorded and 217,000 fatalities. An AFP tally shows the US had 2,100 deaths in the past day, bringing its death toll to over 58,000. Italy's had 27,000 deaths, followed by Spain with 24,000 deaths. But there's a plan to lift Spanish lockdown depending on infection rates. From May 4th, hairdressers can reopen by appointment along with takeaways, while short walks and individual sports can resume. From May 11th, small businesses and hotels can reopen, bars and restaurants can open their terraces, and places of worship can open their doors with reduced capacity at one third. Later in May, theatres, galleries and cinemas can resume, also with one third capacity, and some schools will reopen. At the end of June, shops can open with 2 metres distancing for customers, and beaches will reopen.
16 pedestrians have been killed on Irish roads so far this year. That's double the amount that died compared to the same period last year. The RSA and Gardaí are concerned that some road users are using the reduced traffic as a licence to speed. With more, here's Casey Reardon.
A major reduction in traffic volume due to the COVID-19 restrictions has not resulted in a reduction in road deaths as anticipated. Since the 28th of March, there have been over 8,200 motorists caught speeding, a 38% decrease on the same period last year. However, since schools closed on the 13th of March, there have been 17 road deaths, including 6 pedestrians. Gardaí and the RSA are concerned about motorists using the empty roads as an excuse to speed, some through 50km zones at motorway speeds. They're urging drivers to slow down and expect to come across more pedestrians and cyclists than normal during this time. Meanwhile, pedestrians are being urged to ensure they're visible when out walking. A total of 54 people have died on the road so far in 2020, 7 more than this time last year.
The Irish Medical Organisation is calling on the HSE to urgently address long waiting lists for children's psychology services. According to latest figures, 3,200 children have been waiting at least a year for treatment, with Donegal identified as one of the worst affected counties. Dr. Madeline Nidolly from the IMO's GP committee says children are suffering as a result.
By the time a child comes to his or her GP and presents with distress, they've already been maybe distressed for quite a while at that stage, and then when we make referrals, we don't do it lightly. So we would need and want our children to be seen in a timely manner. All of these young people require support, and we certainly would advocate for increased services across the country.
Mark Smith is president of the Psychological Society of Ireland. He says staff shortages are a major part of the problem.
There have been long-standing issues with regard to funding training programs within psychology, where some programs are funded, some are not. And we also have barriers then through national recruitment systems that we've largely found to be ineffective. We have a legacy of underfunding and under-resourcing of our primary care psychology services that has always needed to be addressed, and with the impact of COVID-19 and the aftermath of this, it's going to be even more important that we provide early evidence-based intervention through our psychology services.
Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have invited the Green leader Éamon Ryan to further talks on forming a government. Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin replied to his letter looking for more information about how a coalition government would work. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
Last week, Éamon Ryan's party set out 17 questions they wanted answered before they'd even consider entering negotiations to be part of the next government. Last night, Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin sent their reply. It includes commitments to end direct provision and consider a universal basic income, but the two leaders said they couldn't provide much more clarity on how everything will be paid for given the current economic turmoil. The big sticking point for the Greens may become the target for a 7% annual reduction in carbon emissions, which they've described as a red line. The Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil document stops short of committing to it, instead saying they're open to considering a reduction of that size, but would have to have talks in more detail about how it will work at a practical level. Some in the Green Party have already slammed the document, including Councillor Lorna Bogue in Cork, election candidate Saoirse McHugh and others at the grassroots level, given any agreement to enter government would need the votes of two-thirds of the Green Party to be approved. There's still a long way to go before they can even be considered on board for a government or even negotiations.
As expected, the government has scrapped plans to replace the junior cert with class-based tests in the autumn. Instead, all students will receive a certificate of completion and a report from their teachers on how they've done over 3 years. It'll be up to each school to decide if further assessments, such as projects or essays, are necessary. Education Minister Joe McHugh says these decisions can be taken at a local level.
Many schools will take the decision that they have enough information and evidence of the individual students' performance over a period of 3 years up until the 12th of March, so they will have that flexibility to decide has enough areas been covered, or for example if there's a subject area that might need further assessment, they have the opportunity to do that.
Well, the teaching unions ASTI and TUI have welcomed the move. TUI says the revised arrangements will bring certainty to worried students, parents and teachers. The union's president, Seamus Lahart, says teachers are best placed to judge students' performance.
The teachers have engaged with these students for the last 2 years and we have examined them on a number of occasions. So the teachers are best placed to put all that together and assess the students and give an indication to parents as to how they have achieved in that particular junior cert subject.
Health authorities in Northern Ireland are being urged to consider telling people to wear face masks in confined public spaces. The SDLP says Northern Ireland should follow Scotland's example and introduce voluntary guidance for people shopping and using public transport. Here, the Chief Medical Officer, Tony Houlihan, said the matter is being considered, but protecting PPE supplies for health workers has to come first. SDLP leader and Foyle MP, Colm Eastwood, agrees.
I don't think the Scottish Government are saying we should all go out and buy surgical masks. I mean, we should keep those for doctors and people on the front line, but there are very simple ways like having a scarf covering your mouth and nose or other pieces of material that do help. I don't think by any means it's a silver bullet, but coupled with all of the advice that we're given about hand washing and social distancing, I think it's just an extra tool in the box. I think we all know that when you're outside, it's quite easy to socially distance, but when you have to go to a shop, it's very, very difficult in some shops to stay 2 metres apart from people. So I think we need to know if that works. The Scottish Government have said very clearly it's not mandatory. It has little effect when outside, but it's a good way of stopping spreading the disease. It doesn't protect you from getting it, but it stops you transmitting it.
Foyle MP Colm Eastwood. Well, health experts are warning that face masks need to be worn correctly or else they could increase the spread of infection. Microbiology and allergen management lecturer Orla Cahill, who teaches in TU Dublin, says good guidelines on masks are vital.
If it's not put on correctly, and if you're out and about and you're touching the mask, you're readjusting it, that's not good, because you're just going to get an accumulation of other organisms, and what you're going to end up with is pretty much a dirty piece of either paper or fabric on your face, which can result, unfortunately, if it's not handled correctly, maybe a possible spread.
Wind energy became Ireland's number one source of electricity for a full quarter for the first time during the first 3 months of 2020. Figures released this week by the SEAI showed wind energy provided 43.8% up to the end of March, followed by natural gas, which provided 41.8%. Justin Moran of the Irish Wind Energy Association says last year saw a third of all Irish electricity demand met by wind. This year, he said, will break that record. He says one of the biggest challenges facing the industry is to improve communication with local communities. Mr. Moran believes the development of offshore wind farms will become more prevalent in the coming months.
I think we're going to be looking to develop both onshore wind farms and in place, including in places like Donegal, but also I think increasingly offshore wind energy, which is enormous potential in Ireland, initially off Ireland's east coast, but then as technology improves off the west and the northwest coast as well.
There was talk several years ago about something off the coast of Lough Foyle. Is that something that perhaps is coming back onto the agenda again?
I think when we're talking about off the west and the north coast, what we will be looking at there are floating wind turbines, and the reason for that is that fixed turbines need to be closer to the coast. The coastline and the seabed off the west coast and north coast of Ireland aren't really suitable for that, but as floating turbines become more available, we'll be able to look at those kind of locations where there's enormous amounts of wind resources out there to be tapped into.
In terms of relationships between IWEA, its members and communities, there is always going to be a certain amount of tension. What steps are being taken and what measures do you believe are in place to actually address that?
It's our responsibility to go out to the local community, to listen to their concerns. It's very, very rare, very unusual these days for any kind of wind farm to be developed without changes being made to accommodate the interests of the local community. And that's why we're always urging people to engage as quickly as possible. As the new support schemes for wind energy come in play later on this year, the amount of money that's going to be invested in local communities from wind farms is going to substantially increase. And hopefully in the years to come, we're going to be able to see local communities having the opportunity to invest in wind farms and to actually part own and share in the profits from those kind of renewable developments. And I suppose from our end, we'll always need to continue to try and find ways of improving how we communicate and engage with local communities and ensure that they are part of the energy transition.
Justin Moran from the Irish Wind Energy Association. The PSNI has issued 374 fines and 615 community resolution notices for breaches of travel regulations. Police in the north are encouraging people not to go to holiday homes this weekend and are reminding people this is a health crisis and not a holiday. They say they've been working closely with Gardaí and will continue to do so over the bank holiday weekend to coordinate their operational activity. The PSNI say they have a joint interest with An Garda Síochána to save lives on both sides of the border. An Irishman wanted in the UK on 39 manslaughter charges has been accused of being the ringleader of a group involved in illegal immigration. Ronan Hughes of Leitrim Silverstream T. Holland in Monaghan is seeking bail from the High Court as he fights his extradition from Dublin. Courts correspondent Frank Graney has more.
Ronan Hughes was arrested by Gardaí earlier this month on foot of a warrant issued by police investigating the deaths of 39 Vietnamese nationals. On October 23rd last, their bodies were found in the back of a lorry in an industrial estate in Essex. Sergeant Jim Kerwin said today it would be alleged that Mr Hughes was the chief organiser of a group involved in bringing illegal immigrants into the UK. The court heard its further claim that he made a substantial amount of money from this illegal activity. Sergeant Kerwin said he feared Mr Hughes may abscond if granted bail, and he said it was his belief that he had the means to do so. The court heard he lived in a relatively new house, finished to a very high standard and paid for without a mortgage. €210,000 has also been frozen across 33 bank accounts linked to Mr Hughes, and Sergeant Kerwin expressed concerns about his access to a large number of vehicles, a number of which he said have yet to be located. Frank Graney, the High Court in Dublin.
Just gone 16 minutes past 5 o'clock. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games. All-Ireland winner with Donegal, Eamon McGee, says he was never drug tested during his inter-county career. It comes after Carlo footballer Ray Walker accepted a 4-year ban for testing positive for a banned substance, but he says accepting the ban wasn't an admission of intentional wrongdoing. McGee says he always relied on advice from medical and support staff when it came to taking supplements.
We put our faith in the medical staff and the SNC coaches, and in fairness, they were pretty on the ball. We were blessed with a good medical staff, and anything that could come in, we took was very well checked, and anything you took outside of that, you had to run by the doc. So in terms of literature, in terms of sitting down and talking, this is what you can take, this is what you can't take, it wouldn't have been, you know, a priority for us. We just put an awful lot of trust in Docs and the S&C lads.
European captain Padraig Harrington says the Ryder Cup may have to take one for the team by playing without fans. Three of golf's four majors have been postponed until later in the year due to the coronavirus, but the Ryder Cup is scheduled to take place at Whistling Straits and Wisconsin in September. Harrington says that playing the Ryder Cup without fans won't be in the best interests of the event, but it could be in the best interests of enough people who want to see a big sporting occasion on TV. Last week, world number one Rory McIlroy said a Ryder Cup without fans is not a Ryder Cup. In soccer, Gary Neville has called for more guidance from the British government on the return of football and the Premier League. The French season was ended yesterday after the country banned all team sports until September. But with the Premier League pressing to restart the season in June, Neville says there needs to be clarity on how this will work without breaking social distancing rules.
Even if you keep a really sterile environment in a football scenario, you're going to break that in your home and social scenario. The challenges are just so great. And that's why France, Holland and other countries have just stopped and said, let's resume in September when we've got a little bit more clarity of what's going on.
Crystal Palace manager Roy Hodgson says he still wants to see the Premier League completed. The 72-year-old might not be able to attend matches when the sport restarts, even if it's behind closed doors because of his age. However, Hodgson says he's keen to get back up and running as soon as possible.
If all goes well, we'd like to finish the season. And we're football people. We love the game. We're passionate about the game. And we can't really wait to get back and get playing again in whatever way the authorities and the government decide they will allow us to.
Manchester United have been given permission to install 1,500 rail seats at Old Trafford on a trial basis. The club hopes to have the safe standing area ready for the start of next season. Wolves and Celtic have both successfully opened rail seated areas in recent season. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe says it will be impossible to host the Olympics in Tokyo next year unless the coronavirus is contained. He believes the rescheduled event can only go ahead if the world has won its battle against the COVID-19 pandemic. The chief executive of Horse Racing Ireland feels that this year's Cheltenham Festival should have played out behind closed doors, but Brian Kavanagh says he has some sympathy with festival organisers. Kavanagh also says Irish Racing is ready to resume once it's told it's safe to do so. And finally, the suspension of athletics competitions in Northern Ireland because of COVID-19 has been extended until the 30th of June. The previous suspension of the sport announced in the middle of March had been until the 31st of May. That's it from the sports desk for today. Donald, back with more tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Oisin. The Fawcett Trade Union says it hasn't received clarification from the HSE that healthcare workers who are unable to find childcare will not be granted paid leave. The HSE raised the possibility of introducing the measure at a meeting with health unions yesterday. However, Fawcett looked for clarification on the grounds that such a proposal seemed to contradict official advice from the Department of Public Expenditure. Donegal County Council's Culture Division is seeking people to carry out research on the laurels in Dlentys, which provided the inspiration for much of Brian Friel's work. Friel was born in Omagh and grew up in Derry, but the laurels was the home of his mother, Christina McLoone's family, and they visited there frequently. Donegal County Council's Heritage Officer is Joe Gallagher. He says this is an important piece of research.
The Culture Division at Donegal County Council, we're commissioning some research on the Laurels in Glenties, which is playwright Brian Friel's mother's home, actually, and is also the inspiration behind the play Dancing at Lunasa. So the house itself is a protected structure of national significance, and again, it's one of the few buildings in the county that has that distinction. And Donegal County Council has done some previous work on it, commissioning a conservation report back in 2017. But the purpose of the study at present is to try and bring together what we know about the built heritage of the Laurels, to link it with Brian Friel's writings on Ballybeg and Glenties, and also the family history research on the McLoone and the Friel families. So trying to tie all that information together to inform the conservation of the building that's being led out by the Brian Friel Trust. We're inviting applications for people to actually do the study itself until Friday the 8th of May, and the full details are available on the Donegal County Council website. And again, the work will involve archival research, analysis of Friel's literary works and his writings, family history research, interviews, and then sort of trying to bring all that together.
That was Joe Gallagher, the Heritage Officer with Donegal County Council, and the Council's Culture Division has also confirmed today that the Baltina Festival has been cancelled. It will resume and come back in 2021. The IFA is asking the Agriculture Minister to outline why hundreds of townlands have been excluded from the ANC scheme. The scheme provides support to farmers in areas of natural constraint, but after dozens of Donegal townlands were excluded in a recent review, only a handful were reinstated on appeal. Michaela Clark has more.
Following that review in 2018, an extra 2,154 townlands were included, but 699 were excluded. Of the 699, 48 were in Donegal, the third highest figure in the state after Wexford and Offaly. No new Donegal townlands were included. IFA sought to have an independent appeals process put in place, and 308 townlands appealed their exclusion. 35 of those were in Donegal, but only 3 succeeded, with 32 appeals rejected. Again, that's the third highest number of rejections in the country. The IFA says the ANC scheme supports up to 100,000 farmers and is worth €250 million per annum on land that has production limitations. The IFA is now calling on Minister Michael Cree to give full details of the decisions made in all areas and to publish the data that determined the outcomes.
Andrew McShay is the IFA's Rural Development Chair in Donegal. He says initially it was proposed to carry out the review on the basis of electoral areas rather than townlands. Had that happened, he says, the situation could have been worse.
The maps that came out first, they wanted to do it on the electoral areas. And if they did that, they would have took out an awful lot of farmers. So we went back to the department and we said to them that we can't do it on fields or on the electrical area. We needed to do it on town lands. So on town lands, it meant that if a farmer got in the town land, it brought the whole town land into the ANC. But if a farmer in the town land was put out, it put the town land out. So it was kind of a double-edged sword. But it actually kept a lot more farmers in the scheme than out of the scheme by bringing it to town land.
The IFA is calling on the minister to ensure that all the data used and all the reasons for rejections are passed on to farmers so that they can be studied locally. That's something you're obviously backing.
Oh, definitely, yes. As being part of the Rural Development Committee in Dublin, we definitely need all the details of how the farmers were put out and what actually percentage that came against them. We definitely need all that transparency that we can go and if we need to appeal individual farmers again, that we have concrete evidence to go and get the farmers back into the scheme.
Well, the forecast to Met Air and tell us there's more heavy rain coming for a time tonight. However, that will clear to showers and clear spells later. Winds will then ease light and variable, allowing patches of mist and fog to develop overnight in lows of 3 to 5 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, Thursday, a mix of sunny spells and scattered showers. Maximum temperatures 8 to 11 degrees Celsius in light to moderate northerly or variable breezes. Main stories in brief. The Taoiseach says the government really wants to get it right when it comes to reopening the country after lockdown. Leo Varadkar will announce details of a phased exit plan in the next number of days, but his warning figures show we are not yet ready for the easing of restrictions. The Business Minister, meanwhile, says there's only a finite amount of resources when it comes to support packages for firms affected by COVID-19. 16 pedestrians have been killed on Irish roads so far this year. That's double the amount that died compared in the same period last year. The RSA and Gardaí are concerned that some road users are using reduced traffic as a licence to speed. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have invited the Green Party leader Eamon Ryan to further talks on forming a government. They responded to his letter outlining how a coalition government might work. Next news is at 6. Good evening. The eviction notices for this Wednesday evening, the 29th of April. The death has occurred of Sally O'Neill, Sally Maguanis, Baltany Gorthohork. Her funeral mass will take place at 11 o'clock on Friday morning and may be viewed online via mcnmedia.tv Gorthohork or via the McLafferty Funeral Directors Gorthohork Facebook page. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only. The death has taken place of Breach Doherty, Clooncarney, Trenta. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are for immediate family only, please. Funeral mass on Friday at 12 midday can be viewed via the St. Columbus Church Terman Facebook page. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of McCafferty Funeral Directors Terman, or any family member. The death has occurred of Michael Maguire, Liscurran, Ballybuffet. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please. Funeral mass can be viewed live on Friday morning at 10 o'clock on the Church of Mary Immaculate's Tronauder webcam. The death has taken place of Eileen Friel, Nae Dorian, Ballymagoan, Fanad. Due to government and HSE guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Tammany Health Centre Patients Comfort Fund, FANAD. The death has taken place in Cornwall, England, of Robert Edmund Blair, formerly of Corridui Convoy. Prayers and burial in the family plot at the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Ballybo Convoy tomorrow. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral is private to family only, please. Inquiries to Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. And the death has taken place of Mary McElhinney, Care O'Doherty Avenue, Buncrana. Due to government and HSE guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private, please. Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Cockhill, can be viewed on the parish website.